Westview Gospel Chapel.
The Westview Gospel Chapel. We thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
What an introduction. Well, sometimes you think maybe Satan doesn't want you here or something. On our way up here this morning, we came to the entrance into Goldstream Park, and here's a big fire truck right across the road. And we drove up. Judy says, uh-oh, what's this all about? Anyway, we got there, and there's a fireman standing there, so we yell out the window, what's going on? Oh, he says, there's an accident on the highway, and the highway's closed. And of course, we all know about the fact that if you're going to get between Victoria and the rest of the world, you have to go to Malahat, unless you want to take a long time and go around through Lake Cowichan and whatnot. But anyway, Lord was good, and it didn't take long, about 20 minutes, and they opened the highway, but boy, what a mess. Some people, I think, were hurt very badly. So, and this is the reality of life, isn't it? That no matter what we have in this life, it can be snuffed out in a moment. At any rate, I have a message this morning that's been on my heart for a while. It's something I've not spoke on before. It's something that I've spoken. And I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. We're seeing things changing in a way that is very disturbing for some of us older folks. Some of us are sort of sticking our head in the sand and saying, it doesn't really matter, I'm out of here anyway. But as we look at things, we begin to realize something drastic is taking place in our society today. You know, when I was younger, and that was a long time ago, the big fear was nuclear war. The Russians are coming kind of thing. And there was all this kind of mentality was a part of what we grew up with, as far as maybe the end of the world will come with a nuclear war. And now we're seeing things happening at a rapidly declining rate. And when we look at these things, we begin to see all the things that God said in His Word are coming true. And I have seen in my lifetime things change so dramatically in the moral standards, values, just everything. The whole structure of the family, government, everything. And you begin to wonder, if you weren't a believer, and if you were standing there looking at all this stuff, you say, what in the world is going on? And as we look at this thing, we begin to realize that, and especially if we see, like the world of politics, for instance, I don't want to get into great detail about it, but other than the fact that we find that people on the left are declaring war on anybody who dares to take an opposing view, and we see that it's becoming quite militant. We don't just agree with you, you're our enemy. We're going to have to change your thinking. You've got to rethink your position, because we're right and you're wrong. That's it. And they call themselves progressive. We're progressive. What does that mean? What are these buzzwords that they use? Well, progressive means that we're progressively getting worse. We had when I was a boy, and of course, I'm going to say these things, and people here who are perhaps younger say, oh, come on. You know, we're not living in back in 1950s and 60s, but the fact still remains that we're human beings and we had values back then. Family was very important. In a lot of cases, because of economics, a lot of women have to go to work now. They didn't see that. My mother was always home. When we came home from school, she was there. We could count on it. And it was a wonderful thing to have that stability. We didn't have much. Perhaps that's one of the reasons we see things have changed. We lived very frugal lives, but we had family and we had stability. We're seeing that eroded at a rapid rate. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When I went to school, I first learned about the things of the Bible at public school. I can remember one dear old lady, an old sister, she was she was grade four, and Miss Burgess was her name. And I remember how she used to, every morning, and we did this in all the classes, but she was obviously a believer. And we of course, you get in the classroom and you stand beside the desk and you recite the Lord's Prayer, you know, and by rote. And then you'd sing O Canada, and then you'd sit down, and then she'd get out the Bible and she'd read you stories from the Bible. This is before we even started our lessons. And a lot of those things that I learned in those days, I learned at school. I learned about Samson and Delilah. I learned about Peter denying the Lord. I learned about all these. I learned that in school. Today, it's banned. You're not even allowed to have a Bible in school. Now, this is called progression. And what we learned through these kinds of teachings and whatnot is respect for authority. You know, when the principal came walking down the hallway, we didn't call him by his first name like they do today, and he wasn't wearing shorts and a t-shirt. He was a respected man, and we were almost afraid of him because he represented authority. And we respected authority. But, you know, you're not seeing that today, are you? I see, when I pick up kids at high, I still drive a school bus. When I pick up kids at high school, and it's for a field trip or whatever, and the kids are getting on, I'm not too sure who the teacher is, because they all look the same. And you begin to wonder, what's going on here? And of course, they're friends. They're not authority, they're friends. And people some might think that's good, but the trouble is, as you grow older, you begin to develop this attitude of no rules, no respect for authority, and do what you want. And this is called being progressive. Now, the ones that are on this bent, and the majority are, there's a lot of support for them. We see in schools, just like I mentioned, whether it's secondary education or higher learning, so-called, or whether it's even in elementary schools, we have teachers that are bent on this kind of thinking, and these people are supported by the educational system. So training up. Remember when Hitler said, "Give me the child before the age of five, and I got him for life." Well, this is what's happening. We have this thing called SOGI in schools now, and what that is it's sex education to indoctrinate the children on all kinds of deviant behavior that's we call normal. And we see that being instilled in our little children. And that is in what's going on in our schools today. That's why people, Christians and others, are pulling their kids out of school, educating themselves at home, or putting them in a Christian school if they can find one that's acceptable. So this is what's happening there. Then we have, of course, we have the media. And of course, the media, or as Amir Safadi calls it, the Midianites, the media is totally in the pocket of this movement. And then we can go on and we can say they have Hollywood on their side. So any movies that come out, they disdain completely anything that even remotely suggests Christianity, except to laugh at them and poke fun at them. All these Christian leaders are all sex maniacs. They're all brainwashed. They're living in the past. They're living, believing myths and all the rest of this sort of thing. So what does that leave them with? Well, it doesn't leave them with much, does it? Somehow we think we're going to change this world and make it better. So we have globalism, which is just the new word for new age. And globalism is trying to bring everybody together in one. We want a one world government. We want one world religion. We want one world monetary system. This is what's happening. And anybody who opposes this is the enemy. So we're seeing more and more this kind of thought going on. And it's frightening for someone who doesn't really understand what's going on. Now, if you know the Bible, you know that this is supposed to happen. And as Christians, as we read the Word of God, we begin to realize, hey, it's getting close. The coming of the Lord is really getting close because we're seeing all these things happen. There's an apostasy in all of these things. And, of course, what we see again, as I've already mentioned, is there's an attack on Bible-believing Christians. And anything, any kind of belief is sacred except Christianity. They're the enemy. Because we can't convert those people. We can't make them think the way we think. They've got these funny ideas. So what do we have? Well, we have it because we have these kinds of things happening, something is happening also. And this is the part that I'm concerned about, and I have been concerned about for a little while. Something else is happening. Apostasy and false teaching is coming into the church. And that is the part that is frightening above all. So where do we stand on this? Well, I can just simply say this. What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? The attack is on the Bible. If we can have all sorts of ideas about how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and all this kind of stuff, with all these progressive ideas, but we don't like what the Bible says about these things. We don't like the way that the Bible talks about women and puts them down, if we only understood that it actually elevates women. But this is the kind of thing that we see, and we're starting to see people in various churches that are becoming extremely popular, where they discount the Word of God, and they go by experience. A friend of mine was just telling me that he had a meeting with, or he went over to a house that where his son was living, and these people are very involved in the Vineyard Church, as it's called, and they, of course, they know where he goes, and he's involved in a church like this, Bible-believing church. And immediately they went on the attack and said, you people, all you do is talk about the Bible, but you don't believe in experience. Well, what do you mean experience? Well, these kinds of experience, whether they come from the imagination or they come from the pit, seem to be capturing their hearts. Now, there's a church in Redding, California. Now, we've heard about the Toronto Blessing. And there's also another church that's come out of Toronto called Jesus Plus. In other words, it's nice to have the Lord and all that kind of stuff, but we have to maintain our own salvation. And we're going through the tribulation, so you better be prepared now to sacrifice your children because we're going through the tribulation. Now, that's one of the things they're teaching. Now, this Bethel Church in Redding, California, it's called the New Apostolic Reformation. And there are some really frightening things going on in that church. But before I go any further, I want to let you know that millions of Christians are following this kind of teaching, if they are Christians at all. It's called strange fire. They talk about fire all the time. They use this term fire, and they're always talking about this. There is another aspect of what they do is called grave soaking. Now, what they do is report of someone who went to the grave of D.L. Moody, and they laid on the grave over D.L. Moody's grave, and they absorbed his spirit, and now he has the spirit of D.L. Moody. People actually believe this, you know, and we need to be warned. This is what's taking place in the so-called Christian church today. And when we hear these kinds of things, we begin to realize we are in the last days. And the Word of God will be attacked, because, of course, where we stand, of course, is, what does it say in the Bible? What's going on here? We see these so-called prophets, priests, and other so-called experts talking about these things. Well, I want to just read for a moment. If we look at 2 Peter, and you know, you've probably read 2 Peter many times, but you say, when is this going to really apply? Well, how about now? How about now? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that always to have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now these are the Peter was there, Peter, James, and John, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was transfigured, and they heard a voice from heaven. There are people today claiming they hear voices from the Lord. And of course, we know that the Bible is complete. There's nothing more to be added. And these so-called prophecies that are coming, there's voices all right, but it's not the voice of God. And this is real. It's really happening. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That is when Christ returns. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, what he's saying there, we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Because what is happening in these various churches is they're pulling out a particular verse that suits their where they want to go. And they don't look at the surrounding Scriptures or Scriptures that pertain to the same thing to compare them to see what the actual thought is. Excuse me. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit, not some spirit of darkness. And then verse 2 says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Even there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. It's happening. It's happening now. Why do these churches why are they so popular? And why does a church like this, where the Bible is open and the Bible is preached as what we see there, not popular? Well, simply because of the fact that when you realize that God has standards and he has principles, and we don't want to follow them, we'll go to a place that says, we're under grace, we can do what we want, and let's just go for it. And a lot of these places, unfortunately, are built on music. And it looks more like a nightclub than it does a place of worship. The old hymns are the hymn books are thrown out, literally thrown out. And the 7-Eleven songs, you know, you say seven words and you repeat it 11 times. I watched a clip on YouTube, and there was this group called Jesus something, I know it's from Australia. They're very popular all over the world. The people just line up. They have huge concerts, 16,000 plus going to these concerts. And this girl got up, and for 17 minutes, with the music just blaring and, you know, thumping away, she was saying, "Jesus, fill me up." And she said that over and over and over and over. And you know what that was doing? That was a hypnotic thing. It was getting, and as she was doing this, the audience and the kids, and mostly kids in the audience, were getting on their feet, and they were rolling around, and they were carrying on. And they call this worship. You know, this is frightening. This is demonic. And you know, when we sit here and we open up our hymn books and we sing songs that bring glory and honor to the Lord, when we have an organ or a piano playing just for accompaniment, that doesn't drown out the singing, but accompanies it, people look upon that as dull, old-fashioned. Where are their hearts? Let's look together at 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which you spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But you know what? Things have changed even in my lifetime. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What we see is the world was created by the word of God, held together by the word of God. It was destroyed in a flood by the word of God. And now we see what's taking place today being preserved by the word of God. God spoke this world into existence, and in a moment he could dismiss everything into atoms and completely make it disappear, because if he decided to do so, because everything is held together by his word. Everything is molecules, and they're in a solid form. What holds them together? What does that? The word of God. But then he goes on to say, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't forget, this is the eternal God that we're talking about here. God's not limited to time. Time is a creation of God. He's the eternal God. He invented, or as it were, created, better word, time. And that's where we are right now. We're slotted into a place called time. And we have limitations because of time. And we have this tendency to think that somehow God is limited by the same time. He's not. But then he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, we have a responsibility as believers to share the word and warn people because of the destruction that's coming. But I also want to point out very carefully that God never brings on any kind of judgment without warning. He never has, and he never will. He always warns first. I remember years ago there was a man, I think everybody who's a little bit older remembers Will Rogers. He was a real witty fellow. He wasn't a believer, but he was quite a character. And he said, everybody's ignorant, only on different subjects. And you know, that would lead all of us into that. So when we look at these things, we see, okay, there's a lack of learning, opportunity to learn, ability to learn willingly, and to be willingly ignorant. No matter what the scoffers may claim, God's day of judgment will come. Everything else he said pertaining to judgment has happened. Why is he going to stop now? Why is he going to start lying now? And the Lord Jesus Christ also said he will return to establish his glorious kingdom. But you know, Bible ignorance abounds in today's society. No more than ever. We think of the prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, I'll just you don't need to turn to it, I'll just read it quickly to you. I'm just reading it here now. He says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased in the last days. What's that mean? Well, people think, well, we've learned so much. We've got so much science and education, and we have all these ways of transporting people in a quick way now. So that's what it means. You know, actually, it doesn't mean that. I was reading a book by Warren Henderson, and he pointed out that this doesn't mean that at all. What it means is in the last days, men will be absolutely without excuse because the things that are in the Bible that people couldn't understand are now being revealed in a marvelous way. And we're beginning to understand more and more the warnings that are there concerning the end times. There's many men today who are women who have been educated in such a way that they have the ability to warn people. And people are being warned. If you take the time to look and listen, you will see the warning that's there. And the things that you didn't quite understand are being more and more revealed to you. So we're not without excuse. It's not like anything's being withheld. And in fact, it's just the opposite. We're being warned like never before. And it's not because that there's something new in Revelation. You know what it is? The Spirit of God is now beginning to reveal the things that are in this book as to what they're actually meaning, because we're seeing them happen. You know, we're talking in this day and age. Remember I mentioned about nuclear war and annihilation, and people think, well, this is what's going to happen. In the end, there'll be a great big nuclear war and the world will be wiped out. And if you listen to the leftists today, what are they saying? Global warming. Not very long, and boy, this place is going to burn up. We're going to have no water. Everything's going to be annihilated. God has a plan. He's told us what the plan is. And you know, I remember when Kim Jong, whatever his name is over in Korea, said, I've got my finger on the button. And then Trump came back and said, my finger's on the button too, but my button's bigger than your button. And everybody's thinking, oh boy, now we're in for it. Or they're saying the world is going to just disintegrate because of the lack of oxygen, etc., etc., etc. I got news for you. The Bible tells us that when everything comes to a conclusion, when the Christians are raptured out of here, there's going to be 1,007 years yet that this earth is going to be here. You have God's word on it. You see, man can say he's got his finger on the button, but actually God's got his finger on the button. And he knows when things are going to take place. And we can trust him. So that this fear-mongering is going on about leaving your car running or whatever, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. I think of what took place in World War I, for instance, when we think of all the fuel that was burned up in World War I, and the ships that were torpedoed and destroyed were full of oil that burned for days and days and days into the atmosphere. Nothing changed. Somehow we think as human beings we can affect something as great and wonderful as this earth by driving our car too much. God's in control. You know that the oceans give off more carbon dioxide than we could ever think of giving off. God's in control. Be more concerned about what the Bible says is going to happen than what the so-called scientists say is going to happen. Now we'll go on to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come. It will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand. This is what I was just talking about, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, the twisting of the scriptures. And he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, and this is something we're talking about today, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. The day of the Lord will come. What is this day of the Lord, anyway? Well, in the Bible, there's some days. There's various days in the Bible. There's a day of the Lord in which, in that day, the judgment will climax with the return of Christ to the earth. Now, that's not the rapture. That's when he comes in judgment. That's the day of the Lord. Then there's the day of God. We read about that in verse 12. What's that? Well, that's a period when God's people enjoy a new heaven and a new earth, when all evil has been judged. In 1 Corinthians chapter, again, I want to get a turn to this, 15 and how we all made subject to him, then the Son himself will be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You know, there are Christians today that are teaching that we are going to, as Christians, we're going to convert the whole world, straighten it all out, and then hand it over to the Lord. Newsflash, this place is getting worse and worse. And our influence is anything but changing the world. We are a thorn in the side of those who would want to live for the flesh, the devil, and all the rest of it. And that's why they hate the Christians so much, because the Christians will remind them again, hey, your behavior is sinful. When you take that baby and before it's born, you're murdering. Oh, I don't want to hear that stuff. You guys are in the past. We want to live as we want. We want to do what we want. We want to live for ourselves. And then, of course, we see the day of Christ. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians 1, 7 to 9, and Philippians 1, 10 and 2, 16. It relates to the coming of the Lord, or coming of Christ for his church. What are we looking forward to? Well, 1 Thessalonians tells us pretty straight up, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I know we're familiar with this, but I'm going to read it again, because I think it's time that we really, really got this to heart. This is what we're looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to this place burning up. I'm not looking for all these things that are talking about. I'm looking for this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That is, the Christians that have died and gone before us. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, there's a time coming, that's it. The Christians who have died will be caught up. They'll be the first ones to be with the Lord. Immediately, they'll be caught up. What about the ones that are left? If we're left here right now, what about us? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be with him, caught up to be with him. Christ comes to earth to judge the earth. He comes to the air for his saints, his church, the ones he died for, the ones who have given their hearts and their lives to him. That's what he's coming for. And he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. You know what? Those saints that died, those ones that we know very much that we love, we're going to see him again on the way up. We'll be with him forever. You know, when we say goodbye to someone here as a believer, it's just until good night, I'll see you in the morning. It's not goodbye forever. And what does it say, verse 18? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Excuse me, I don't know why I've developed this, but anyway, bear with me. Not only does the Word of God predict the coming day of the Lord, it also predicts the appearance of the very scoffers who will deny the Word. Do we see scoffers today? More than ever. And where do we mostly hear from? Well, we're here, of course, from the higher learning and education people. This is all myths, this is all nonsense, but we're starting to hear it in the church. What do you mean, rapture? What do you mean? Well, the Lord says he's coming. Well, he's not coming for a long time. In the meantime, let's just enjoy ourselves. Now, we read in verse 10, going back to, or going forward to 1 Peter chapter 2, it says in verse 10 that the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Well, there you go. There it is. There's the nuclear war we're talking about. You know that everything, all the elements in the earth, in the world, are stored with power. Everything has power. Scientists discovered that one glass of water has enough nuclear energy in it to power a cruise ship. Now, what happens with all these elements if God dismisses them? Well, they'll be destroyed. They'll burn up in a fervent heat. They'll be gone. You see, a new heaven and a new earth are coming, wherein dwells righteousness. Our permanent abode, by the way, for those that know Christ as their Savior. I'm sorry. What do we do? Well, give attendance to God's Word. Read your Bible. Your appeal is to God's Word. This is the one thing that's being attacked all over the world. One thing that's being burned up. This is what's happening in China right now. Bibles are being confiscated and burned. And this is not just something new. This has gone down all through history, but it seems the more that they burn Bibles, they print more than we have a Bible. Learn to love your Bible, learn to read your Bible, and learn to be with people who love the Bible. This is your defense. This is my defense. It's your protection from the world's wisdom and protection from false teachers. I'm just going to close with reading one portion of Scripture, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we have the warnings to the seven churches. And these seven churches represent periods of time. They could be conditions within a local church, or they could be periods of time down through history. And the period of time we're talking about is today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's today. That's today. That's the days we're living in right now. What is the church doing? Well, we see these mega churches with all sorts of programs, and they have modern buses to move kids around. They have rock bands that would challenge any of these so-called rock groups in the secular world. They have everything. Plus these big mega churches and pastors that are getting six-figure salaries and all this kind of stuff. But they don't open the Word of God. Because the Word of God convicts. And we don't want that. So what do we have? We have entertainment. We have feel-good messages. But the Word of God has been placed on the back burner. You know, this is a small assembly, I know that. But you're faithful to God's Word. And God will bless you. It's very difficult for people to understand that. How can God be blessing this place? It's almost deserted. I'm sorry, but God's not into numbers. Many, what's the broad road that leads to destruction, and there's many that will be on it. But the narrow way, few there be that find it. Few, a remnant. Praise God that you're sitting here right now with your Bible in your hand. Most churches today, they don't carry a Bible. They just come in for entertainment. Many of the people don't even know each other. The churches are so big, they don't even know each other. What we have here is a family. A family that loves the Father, the Son, and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are rich. The world would look in here and say, oh, you're poor. You're rich. May God bless you as you think of these things. And remember, love your Bible. Read your Bible. Every believer should read the Bible through once a year. I really think that's very important to do that. Get to know your Bible. Be ready with an answer of the hope that's in you. Because the day is coming. The day is coming. It could be today. And the question we have to ask each other, are we ready? Do we know Him? Has there been a time in our individual experience when we actually recognize that we're sinners before God and reached out for the salvation that He offered freely and just receive it? That's all that's required, you know. Churches make it hard. Religion makes it hard. It makes all sorts of rules and things that you must follow. There's only one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. I'm sorry about my little coughing spells, but it's hard to cough when you go to cough like this and you cough into the mic. But anyway, let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You now for the fact that Your Word is still going forward. We're waiting for that upward call, Lord. We're waiting for that time when we'll be rejoined with those that we love so very much. And most of all, to be in the presence of the One who bled and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Until that time, Father, we just pray each one of us to realize our responsibility to know Your Word, to cleave to Your Word. Let nothing take us away from Your Word, because the Bible stands. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to You now. In Jesus' name, amen.